Please turn in the Bible to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This morning we're looking at an abundant life. Do you want to have an abundant life? Yes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you that when we give our heart to you, you do seal it for all eternity. You seal it with the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we do thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And without your Spirit, Lord, we cannot know the real truth of you. So Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, may you speak to this congregation this morning on this very sobering subject of sin for the believer. Lord, may you have all glory in it, in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, looking at one verse of Scripture, and it's a verse of Scripture that you may not hear a TV preacher preach. It may be a verse of Scripture that, you know, being preached on youth-led worship Sunday, and yet the Lord led me over a week ago to preach this message, and then I remember, well, it's youth-led AM worship, and Lord, you still want me to preach this message about sin? Can't we just have an uplifting message and an encouragement to our youth and just single out the youth, and that way the old people can sleep in peace and just, you know, have a good Sunday like that? And the Lord said no. So I'm preaching the whole counsel of God to the whole church. By the way, we're all the church, right? We're young and old. We need each other. Need the wisdom of the old and the energy of the young. Amen. As the church. And Christ loved the church, young and old, and gave his life for the church. The background of the book of James is very important to grasp this verse. The book of James is written to believers. Now, you can get off base if you read some of James and thinking of work salvation. You get way off base. He's talking to people who are already saved. They already are born again. He's writing to the church scattered abroad because of persecution. And he's writing to the church about practical Christian living, and it's called the wisdom literature of the New Testament. So he's writing to people concerning how we are to control what we say. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give it to you. And how God's people should not be proud, but humble ourselves, resist the devil. He will flee and draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to us. That's what the book is about. And some scholars would say this one verse is the pivotal main verse of the whole book. Again, to save people, those who are born again. And he writes this verse, inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, considering all what I had just said, therefore, to him or to her who knows to do good and does not do it, to him or to her, it is sin. Sin. To the born again believer that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, first and foremost, so that we can be saved, and woos our hearts to place our faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. to those who have the Holy Spirit residing in us, that leads us to all truth. The one who knows to do good and does not do it. What is it called? Sin. Sin. And yet Jesus came so that we can have an abundant life. Matter of fact, let's read that. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Not just eternal life, but abundant life. And that doesn't mean all your bills will be paid and you'll have a bed of roses and no hardships in life. It means an abundant life with the presence of God in your life through it all. That's the abundant life. But he who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. Sin. Sin means missing the mark. Basic meaning is like an archer shooting an arrow and you miss the bullseye, missing the mark. Sin is transgressing the law of God. You done crossed the line. You disobeyed God. You have broken the law. It's transgression against a holy God and what a holy God has made you for and what a holy God has said for you to do, and you have disobeyed that. That's what sin is. Missing the mark, transgressing, crossing the boundary that God has placed for us to have an abundant life. In another word, sin is outright rebelling against God. That's what sin is. And for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's a salvation verse. That's to tell us you're a sinner, you need a Savior. But the one who is born again, who knows to do good and does not do it, it is called rebelling against God. Transgressing what God has said. Not being on the right path of your life, what God has placed before you, and you're off the mark. Called sin. Not a big sin, not a little sin, not just something we can giggle about and say, oh well, I'll try to do better next time. But it is sin. What does sin do? Sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God. You as born again, you the church, the Holy Spirit of God resides in you. When you place your faith in Christ, God indwells you. That is salvation for us. The God of heaven came to us. It's not that we have to attain that. God came to us. And the Holy Spirit of God, when we sin, He becomes grieved. And to be grieved is being upset or not liking something that is being done. And the Holy Spirit is grieved when we sin. The Holy Spirit can become quenched in our life and in our work and in our church when there is sin. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, because of sin, can be grieved and quenched in our individual lives. And we can be like Samson and just go on about our business not knowing that the Spirit of God is nowhere to be around. The Holy Spirit of God can be grieved and quenched in families. Families that are not getting along with each other. With families with mom and daddy not loving each other again. Families with children that are in outright rebellion. Families that are not putting Jesus first and foremost in their lives, but they're grasping the wind Things that will not last, whether it's sports or hobbies. They're grasping things that will not last, and the Holy Spirit is grieved in their family. Also, the Holy Spirit can be grieved and quenched in a church when God's people knows to do good and refuses to do it. The church can sin against a holy God. Sin is a very serious matter to God and to the born-again believer. Very serious matter. Brother Bill Robertson has told a story about how God feels about sin. And I heard that and it touched my heart. And I've told you this same story a couple of times. I'm going to use it this morning about how God feels about sin. Imagine with me a young couple that tries and tries to have a baby. And finally God blesses them with a child. And they love this child and they take care of this child, and this child is their prized possession. And this child that they love so much, they played with and cared for, and of course one night they put the baby to sleep and it was a little warm in the house, and they opened up the window in the baby's room and went to bed, happy, joyous, because of their little family. But that night, in the coolness of the night, a big rattlesnake crawls through the window and crawls into that crib with that baby, the warmth of that baby, and coils around that baby. And when that baby would move during the night, that rattlesnake would strike it. That baby would flinch a little bit more and that rattlesnake would strike. That morning, as that young couple that loved that baby so much, as they enter that baby's room and crosses the threshold of insanity, and they see that baby swollen beyond recognition, and that rattlesnake with its ugly head sticking up and hissing at that mom and daddy. Now, if you can imagine how much that mom and daddy hates that rattlesnake, you multiply that by eternity, and that's how much God the Father hates sin. You know how I know that? He said so by every drop of blood that was shed on Mount Calvary. He said so in the heavenly tabernacle when our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, offered for all sin once for all. He offered His blood in the heavenly tabernacle for all sin. He said so. That's how much God hates sin. Sin is a very serious matter to God, and it should be to you and I. Very serious matter, because it grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. And the price, the great price that was paid for us to have forgiveness of sins. So it's time for the church to wake up and live an abundant life. But an abundant life cannot be living in rebellion against a holy God. This verse again says, therefore, to him or to her who knows to do good. Knows to do good. Now, what does that mean? What is good? Let me tell you what good is not. Good is not anything that leads you away from a closer walk with Jesus Christ. I don't care if man says, well, that's good. If it leads you away from Jesus Christ and a right relationship with Jesus, then it's not good. If it leads you and your family away from worship with other born-again believers, and God's Word says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, and it leads you and your family away from worship with other believers and worship of a holy God through Jesus Christ in the New Testament blood-bought church, it is not good. It can't be. And it is not anything good if it teaches righteousness apart from the shed blood of Jesus. I don't care what man says, but if it leads you from faith in the blood of Jesus, it is not good. That's called evil. So that's what good is not. It's not any of that. But he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Missing the mark, transgressing in rebellion. So, what does this verse mean? And I can show off my big seminary degree to you right now and tell you some big old words that I can hardly pronounce. Sins of omission, commission, and just show off and tell you the definition of them all like you don't know anything. But I'm not going to do that. But I know what this verse means. You know how I know what he who knows to do good and does not do it? You know how I know that? I've committed this sin. I've done it. I have known to witness in the line at Walmart and I didn't do it. I've known to go minister to somebody, but because they didn't like me or something, I didn't go. I've known to go and witness to somebody because they're going to hell and I have not done it. Matter of fact, I lived for a few years in outright rebellion, knowing to be in church and knowing to serve Christ and knowing to love Jesus in the church and to go to worship and Bible. And I did not lead my little wife and my little boy to do that for some years. So I'm not going to just show you all I know. But I know about this sin because I've committed it. I've done it. And it's sin. But you know what? If you will confess your sins, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 9. If we say, I'm reading verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the church says, hallelujah. I say hallelujah because I have confessed and repented and I've been forgiven. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. He who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. And if you say you have not sinned, the word is not in you. So please listen. If you can live in rebellion against God, and the Holy Spirit is not convicting you with the Word of God and saying you ought to know better than that, you ought to repent, you ought to confess and ask for forgiveness and live for Christ, and if the Holy Spirit is not wooing your heart to do that, you need to get saved. You need to pray something like, "Oh, Holy Spirit of God, convict my heart so that I can be saved." Child of God, an abundant life is a life dedicated to Jesus, to His cause. That don't mean you got to become a preacher or a missionary, but what it does mean is you're going to treat everybody with love and with great respect and humility, saved or lost. You will treat them with love. And you will love one another. And you'll be a witness for the cause of Christ. And you'll love the church. That's what it means. And that will bring joy to your family and joy to your life. And it is called an abundant life. If you know to do good and you're not doing it, you're sinning. Your sin. Let us pray. Lord, what a serious matter it is to sin when we recognize the price that was paid for that forgiveness. Lord, I pray those who do not know You personally, Lord, that You'll touch their hearts with the Holy Spirit, and may they turn to You and receive You by faith, and receive by faith the sacrifice You made. Lord, I pray for my brother, my sister, who knows to do good, and they're not doing it. I pray, Lord, with great love and compassion as the good shepherd You are, that You'll touch their heart and may they return to their first love. And I ask this in the great name of my Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.